The Holy Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. Glory be to you, O Lord. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the end. By the time the supper took place, the devil had already put the idea into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. He got up from the supper and laid aside his outer garment. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. After Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garment, he reclined at the table again. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, because I am. Now if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Yes, I have given you an example, so that you also would do just as I have done for you. Amen. Amen, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It was a celebration. They were sitting in a restaurant with linen tablecloths, fine china, champagne flutes. They started to glance over the menu. 10 minutes passed, then 20. Nobody came to even give them a glass of water. They were waiting hungrily. But they were celebrating their wedding anniversary. The last thing they wanted to do was have any kind of drama or confrontation, so they just kept waiting. When the wait stretched past a half an hour and still nobody had come to the table, finally he got up, pretending that he needed to use the restroom, actually looking for someone to give a piece of his mind. He found the manager and opened his mouth to start to complain, but before he could, the manager said, "I'm sorry, sir. My attention is needed somewhere else. I'll be with you in a minute." Well, that was that. He hurried back to the table. She gathered up her purse, and they left in a huff. Have you ever experienced anything like that before? Whether it's a clerk in a store who acts like you're invisible, or a visit to the hospital where you feel like the nurses didn't pay enough attention to you, we've all learned from experience that good service is hard to find. You know, when you find one of these rating systems, countless rating systems that the internet has spawned, some of them are just overflowing with reviews from jilted customers who want to make their horror story public. But God created us human beings to depend on each other for service. Many of you have areas of expertise, specialized knowledge that cause other people to depend on you to serve them. And just speaking personally, there are all kinds of areas in my life where I would not be able to function if someone were not serving me. Tax preparation, car repair, health care, the list goes on and on. The world only works when people serve each other. And the world to come only opens up to us through the service of Jesus Christ. And in the gospel tonight, we see Jesus offer incomparable service to his disciples, and he does it for free, without demanding any kind of repayment, without pulling rank, without making any excuses at all. Jesus serves with hands of humility. And he does this for his disciples on a night when, to say the least, Jesus had a lot of other things on his mind. One of the fascinating things about St. John's Gospel is that he shows you this interplay, this kind of back and forth between Jesus' two natures, his divine and his human nature. See, because Jesus is divine, because he is God, he knows everything that is about to happen to him over the next 24 hours. And because he's a flesh and blood human being, Jesus can already start to feel the anguish and the anticipation of what he is about to suffer. Because he has human flesh and blood and a brain like you and me, just knowing what is coming his way is already bringing him pain and suffering. John writes, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So he knew ahead of time what was coming his way. He knew that the devil had already baited Judas into betraying him. But Jesus does not leverage that knowledge or use his power to perform some dazzling display the night before he dies. Instead, he lowers himself and serves with abject humility. So, what were Jesus' disciples doing? What were they up to while Jesus' mind was racing with all of the suffering that was coming his way, and as his cross was coming closer and closer into view? His disciples were busy arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Do you think if those disciples sat down ahead of time and brainstormed a way to be more oblivious and insensitive to their Lord, do you think they could have come up with anything better than that? And if it had been anybody else in that upper room, anybody other than the Son of God, he would have said, I can't handle this anymore. I've done so much for these people over the last 3 years, and all they ever think about is themselves and their own pride and their own status. It's time for me to think about me just a little bit for just a little while. You know, even more maddening is that Jesus had already settled that argument for his disciples at least once before. When James and John sent their mom, probably because they were afraid to do it themselves, they sent their mom to appeal to Jesus to let one of them sit on his left and the other on his right in the kingdom of heaven. And on that occasion, Jesus taught with words. He taught verbally what true greatness is all about. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Now on this Thursday night, Jesus has to reteach the lesson, but this time he chooses to do it not so much with his words, but by modeling what true greatness is. He got up from the supper and laid aside his outer garment. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So Jesus' love for his disciples never wavers, and he overcomes their pride with his own patience. You have the King of creation, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, the one to whom every knee will bow, bending his knee and performing an act of service that was so humiliating and so disgusting, especially in that part of the world at that time in history, so humiliating and degrading and disgusting that normal human servants did everything they could to get out of this. And he does it because he was sent on a mission from his heavenly Father to redeem the world with perfect love. And he wasn't about to quit at the 11th hour. Having loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, most of our Christian service, when it does miss the mark, it's because we base our service on the person who is on the receiving end, their personality, their attitudes, their behaviors. So if there's another person that I just don't really care for them, we don't get along, we disagree about everything, well, then I just leave them alone, act like they don't exist, and when they do need service, I have no idea because I'm just oblivious to them because I'm not paying attention. Or you treat people who are difficult differently. When I was a waiter once, I had a customer order their guacamole for their nachos on the side. So I brought it in a separate dish. And they took that guacamole and spread it all over their nachos, just like it would have been served from the kitchen. I next time they came into the restaurant, I did everything I could not to have to serve that person just because they were going to be that difficult. You know, even in our own families, we sidestep the family member who loses their temper easily. We walk on eggshells around our opinionated in-law, and then we make our excuses. He's a jerk. She's maybe not a jerk, but she was acting obnoxious at the moment. Now, if Jesus based his service on the personality and the attitude and the behavior of the people on the receiving end, none of his disciples would have had their feet washed on Maundy Thursday. And more importantly, none of us would have our sins forgiven because Jesus never would have gone to the cross. But the reason that Jesus' service shines so brightly is that he does not base it on who is receiving it. He bases it on the grace and the love that is in his own heart. Jesus' love for us is perfect, and it is unconditional, and it is only the grace and love inside of Christ himself that caused him to wrap that towel around his waist and wash his disciples' feet, including, by the way, the feet of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus served them, and he was serving us at the same time. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ's perfect service, his obedient death on the cross, forgives us for all of our failures to serve and the lame excuses that we make for those failures. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, Jesus' disciples had a pretty consistent history of missing the point of a lot of things that he said and did. Sometimes they missed the point partially. Sometimes they completely whiffed and didn't get what Jesus was doing at all. But even if they were good at getting the point, I think it would have been really easy for them to misinterpret why Jesus did this. It would have been really easy to think that Jesus was just shaming them, that he was using his humble hands to just cut them off at the knees. But Jesus had a much greater purpose than that. He was rewiring their hearts so that they would also serve with humble hands. Now, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Washing each other's feet is simply showing Jesus' brand of loving service to each other. It is love that forgets to feel superior. It is love that will stoop to the lowliest act of service. It is blind to who it is serving, what they are like, what they have said or done. It works freely without considering the cost of the service, and it is pure enough not to want any recognition from other human beings, but only the approval of God. Jesus' perfect service answers God's demand for holiness, and it also compels us to answer Jesus' call to wash one another's feet. Our Savior meant it when he said, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you did not know these things before, hopefully you do now, and you will be blessed when you do them." Amen.